Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome to the Top Order podcast. Normal programming resuming with This Week in Cricket. We're going to talk the 100, Australia, West Indies. One day is going on all over the world and an England-India preview. But don't despair if you're tuning in for the next episode of our 100 Greatest Cricketers. That will be in your feed very, very shortly as well. But we're going to do This Week in Cricket coming up after the swish. See you soon. So this week in cricket, 26th of July, the year is 2021. It's the launch of the 100, which has been delayed by a year due to COVID, but kicked off last week with the Women's 100 making the debut in the format, at least on our TV screens, followed up by three or four games of the men's tournament. It's on the TV. What do you guys make of it? Raj, I'll come to you first. You want to go after the graphics first and foremost, don't you?
Yeah, I guess, you know, I'm one for innovation. I love innovation in sport. But I feel like they've tried to gamify it a little bit too much. I think the game being slightly different is enough. You don't need to make the graphics so horribly. Like, you're looking at it and you feel a bit disorientated. You're like, what's going on here?
Maybe confused. I was confused. I was trying to figure out the score, trying to figure out who was actually, because, you know, I must admit, I have kind of no idea really who is in which team at the moment. I'm still kind of orientating myself with that. And yeah, trying to figure out who's bowling, who's batting. Yeah, I guess it's just different, isn't it? It's not what we're used to seeing from a scorecard.
It's not what we're used to seeing. Like you said, when you look at the bottom, because you don't know who's in whose team, you're not sure who the bowler is, who the batsman is at that time. But look, I think that the actual quality of the cricket is really good. That's something that's really glowing or glaring from the first week or so of play. So I'll throw over to you guys for some positive stuff.
Yeah, look, I guess we've heard quite a lot about it over the course of our little podcast. We've had a couple of opponents to it, I think. I know, Lippy, you got some questions around how it's affecting English cricket. For me, I did intend to get up and watch the first game and then didn't. So caught the highlights of the first couple of games. And I think that, you know, those were sort of 15, 16-minute packages. So I watched those. And it seemed to me that even though there were highlights packages, they were a bit quicker and faster paced than T20 packages, highlights packages. So I thought, is the game actually, does it feel any different to a T20? So I actually went back and watched the first two games as live, because you can obviously do that nowadays with our excellent streaming content. And it does feel quicker. They don't mess about as much in terms of the over rates, the five rates. And, you know, there's an obvious reason there. You know, there's less balls in the over or the five. But it did feel a quicker product. And I just wonder whether or not that actually is going to appeal. Part of the reason it was brought on board is that it was going to be on terrestrial TV, so free-to-air TV in the UK. And they wanted a product that they could fit into a slot in prime time. that people would stick at, and they were saying a T20 is too long to fit in that primetime slot because it doesn't allow for other programming. So, yeah, look, first impressions, really, really good. And the one thing I'd say, obviously, it's missing some of the marquee overseas players for obvious reasons, but quality-wise, I reckon it's on a par with a Big Bash. You've got some decent overseas players, and the domestic talent at the moment is decent domestic talent. When the England players disappear, Josh Butler's been playing, Johnny Bairstow's been playing, Owen Morgan's been playing. I think Joe Root's even played one game for the Trent Rockets. So when they disappear back into the England squad, slightly different stories. Zach Crawley got some runs as well for either the London Spirit or the Oval Invincibles, whoever he was playing for. So, yeah, look, I think that will be the real litmus test. And if there are any then COVID issues and we start to have to draft in second 11 county players, then that obviously probably does affect the standard a little bit.
It's interesting you say that it felt quicker, because I've seen some, I saw some people, and I must say, this is, it really feels like the most divisive, like when you go on social media, you get commentators and players kind of going on there going, gee, it's such a great game, the 100, it's so wonderful. And then you get the other side where a whole bunch of people are saying, oh, the 100, this is just ridiculous and all this sort of stuff. And one of the people who was negative about the, on that side was saying, well, it's only 1 minute slot faster than a normal T20 is. You know, it took 74 minutes. It's supposed to blah, 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 and all this kind of stuff. So that was interesting. But I mean, I was, you're talking about the quality of the cricket. I've been trying to figure out in my head, because to me, when I think about this, I think this is great for English cricket. Like, it's going to build the depth of English cricket. You look at the IPL and what that's done and how they've, it seems now that any Indian players, they've just got so much depth. They get experience from great overseas players come in. They get to play with those players, play against those players. Anytime those Indian players step up, it doesn't seem to be a big deal for them now to play international cricket. I don't see why that's not going to have the same effect for English cricket if that's the result. So I read George DeBell's article, and I mean, the first thing he said is cricket is a great game. So you watch cricket and it's a game of cricket, and cricket is a great game and cricket's fun to watch, and that's been like that for the 100. But, you know, his question was at what cost? And maybe someone can kind of explain that to me, because I don't really understand how it's hurting the counties so much.
Well, one of the reasons it's hurting the counties at the moment is the Royal London Cup is on at the same time as the 100. So the 18 first-class counties are playing what is the only 50-over tournament in the English domestic game. So you've actually got your players that are playing in the 100 are missing from their Royal London Cup teams. Any international players, England players, that would normally potentially be made available for those Royal London Cup games are obviously not available for them for international duty. But even if they were, the 100 would usurp that particular tournament as well.
But isn't that just expanding the depth? Doesn't that mean then you've got your second 11 players getting exposed to better cricket, and then you're...
I'm just explaining the argument that is coming from the county fans. And I think that's the biggest thing, is that they think it's marginalising county cricket. And I was listening to George DeBell. I think he was on the Following On podcast talking about it. And the one criticism he did have, amongst a number of others, was he was told essentially that being a county fan was something less, because they were trying to make this appeal to people that weren't county fans. Mm. And he was saying, well, if it wasn't for me, cricket wouldn't exist in the way that it exists. How dare you, you know, have a go at me for, you know, supporting county cricket. For me, I've got a slightly different take on it. We needed a franchise tournament. Let's not forget that the UK were the pioneers of day-night 2020 cricket back in 2003. There was razzmatazz around. I remember going to Edgbaston and watching Warwickshire play. Alan Donald steaming in off about 40-metre run-up, and it was zipping through to the keeper, and it was a fantastic spectacle. And it's taken us nearly 20 years to kind of bring that to the franchise sort of level and really have that showcase. So for me, I think it's been well needed in the ECBs, not only from a financial perspective, but you know, to put that game on the map as well.
Yeah, it's interesting, and I mean, we'll see what happens right in the coming years. If the
survival of the fittest, yeah. We've seen the IPL window, haven't we? It's become all important. Why? Because the players want to play in it. and the fans want to watch it.
Yep.
And we all took the piss out of T20, didn't we? Even the players with their retro jerseys and their retro hairstyles and their retro bucket hats thought it was a bit of, you know, shits and giggles. Now look at it. Not shits and giggles now when you're getting $3 or $4 million to go and play 8 weeks of IPL cricket.
Spot on. We should probably move on now to Australia West Indies, which was obviously a bit disrupted by COVID this week. You know, inevitably that just keeps hanging around it and we can't shake it. But Baldy, I mean, what are your thoughts on Australia's performances? When I looked through that Australian lineup for that second ODI, I didn't really realise hardly any of these players were international players at this point. You know, I touched on it last time we talked about Australia, but I'm kind of really confused at who Australia's best players are.
I think some of the Australian players, well, not maybe the Australian players, but some of the Australian selectors might be still asking themselves what's our best 11 going into the T20 World Cup in a couple of months. I think Australia, if you have a look at the players who've played in that West Indies series, other than Mitchell Marsh, in that batting lineup, no one has really said, pick me for the World Cup. He's probably the only one that will have helped his case. I think so far, Philippe and McDermott have been given opportunities and haven't really capitalised on those. Okay, some of those wickets are a little bit harder to score on. We saw both Australia and the West Indies in the one-day internationals struggle in the top order. West Indies may have sorted out their bottom order batting in that second one-day international to chase Australia's 170 all out or 180 all out or whatever it was. But for me, I'm still trying to figure out which Australian side is real. Is it the bowling attack that bowled West Indies out for 120 and Mitchell Starc looked like a world beater? Or is it the bowling attack that got destroyed by the West Indies 4-1 in the T20 series? So I don't really know which one is real at the moment. I'm hoping that Starc can can keep that form that he found in that first ODI alive, because when he's swinging the ball, it's very, very difficult to get him away, and he can be quite devastating at the top of the order. The thing that gives me hope is that Trent Bolt was incredibly successful in UAE conditions this time last year in the IPL, swinging the ball early and making life difficult for the batters in that first 3 or 4 overs in the power play. So I'm hopeful that he can maintain that kind of spark of form that he's got. But for the rest of the players, no one has really stepped up at all other than Marsh and nailed down his position for that T20 World Cup.
I think you're actually seeing the real Australia in that they're a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. Mm-hmm. Just with all the players that are missing and the experience that's missing or the people there that are very green, just you're going to get that sort of inconsistent performance. Can I ask a question? Why is it that we're missing David Warner, Steve Smith, Pat Cummins?
I think, looking from the outside, that Australia are prioritising the upcoming Summer Ashes series over this over the preparation for this T20 World Cup. Maybe not the tournament itself. I'm still hopeful that those guys will play. But I think those guys are going, right, I've got T20 World Cup, I've got IPL, I've got little miscellaneous sort of rats and mice tournaments in between, or rats and mice series in between. But the big carrot is the Summer Ashes series against England in Australia. And I think those guys are setting themselves up for that.
Because, I mean, I looked back at their schedule. So they didn't go on a tour to South Africa because of COVID. They also pulled out of a tour to Zimbabwe. And, you know, the team that came to New Zealand was, again, a side without those stars. So I just, from a rest perspective, I feel like that's sort of out the window now. This is something else.
Like, well, these were scheduled rests for Warner and Cummins. I don't know when in the thing they were scheduled, if they were scheduled before that South Africa series got cancelled, and then they went, oh, well, we'll still have that rest, thanks. And but Smith's recovering from an injury, and that's why he's not there. But, yeah, I mean, it's just so confusing. I just have no idea what this Australian side is. I mean, you would think that they're all going to be there for that T20 World Cup because they're going to play IPL and just go straight into that.
Yeah, they will.
So they'll all be there. I'd be stunned if any of them are not at that tournament. But, yeah, you would think that they'll need some sort of build-up to build a bit of momentum.
That's going to be the real challenge for Australia, is they're going to have zero build-up. They're going to have to integrate Finch and Warner together at the top of the order. They're going to have to find room for Smith there, probably somewhere in the top of that middle order, 3, maybe 4. They're going to have to find a spot for Maxwell, because I think he's the one guy who I would build that innings around in terms of that middle order, 4, 5, 6. So wherever he wants to bat, that's where he bats, and everyone else fits in around him for me.
I guess the saving grace, though, is all these players now are going from one tournament to another and they've got to switch it on straight away. You know, we saw, you know, no warm-up game for India before the World Test Championship final. They did, you know, they played okay. Obviously, the result didn't go the way that they would have wanted it to. I think I've said it as well. We'll only really know the answer to this question after these cycles, won't we? Have they got it absolutely right in terms of bringing guys out of the firing line, you know, mental rest and recuperation as well as physical? You know, that might be the blueprint that other teams start to follow if we get this sort of bubble fatigue and bubble burnout as we go.
One thing that I want to know about this series, and it's really struck me, and obviously it happens in other series as well, but I've been so confused that the West Indies batting lineup, for example, just looked unstoppable in that T20 series. They're just smashing it all over the place. How come when you go to a longer format, when you've got more time to actually get your runs, you can't even get the same score that you got in 20 overs?
Top 2 inches.
It's the guys, you know, your Andre Russells, your Chris Gayles, your Dwayne Bravos, having those people in your team, I think, creates a different sort of mindset, and you can see it. It's like chalk and cheese, isn't it?
PlayStation generation, no longevity.
But to be fair, the West Indies is well aware of it, and they've talked a lot about mentally preparing themselves to bat. Mm. So it's good that they are acknowledging that.
I think the West Indies side is looking even stronger for this T20 World Cup. Yeah. Sort of coming out of that five T20s against Australia, we know what their kind of best 11 is, or pretty close to it. They've got 14 or 15 guys that they could take to that tournament and get into the final. I think the West Indies are a real strong contender now.
I've not looked at the TAB, but they've got to be up there in the sort of betting, I would have thought, for the tournament.
Yeah, there's a few other series going on around the world. India, Sri Lanka, which I don't think we can even view here in New Zealand. India sort of
Sri Lanka thirds. India thirds versus Sri Lanka, isn't it?
And sort of half of Sri Lanka's team aren't really eligible. We've had Sri Lanka, South Africa, Ireland, and Zimbabwe, Bangladesh. So a few different series that we're not really going to dive into. But I guess the point probably I want to make is we talked about last time how Sri Lanka have, you know, we're really worried about them qualifying even, or certainly for automatic qualification for that next ODI World Cup. A very valuable win for them to sneak. India, I think, gave five players a debut in the third ODI once they had the series wrapped up. But with Ireland taking a one day off South Africa and then also getting a rain out, so they get some pick up some points there. Sri Lanka picking up that win is actually going to be really, really crucial going forward for them. But it's probably time for a swish, and then should we come back with England-India after that?
Back after the swish. So a county select 11 took on India last week in their warm-up for this upcoming test series. Lippy, I'll come to you first because you've made a few notes here, and I don't want to read the first one out, that's for sure, because it'll look as if it's a little bit biased.
Oh, well, they're not my notes. They're Baldy's notes about liking the balance of the England squad. I would the first point that you raised about the county 11, I mean, great timing for Hamid is probably the place to start there. I mean, we touched on him a little bit after we touched on him about being in the last squad. We got a message on Twitter saying that he played a little bit of cricket down here in Wellington, club cricket.
Yeah.
So that's a little side note. But great timing for him to get that 100. And I mean, is we've talked about how that English batting lineup has been so fragile the last few months. Is he going to get a shot, you reckon?
Look, I really don't know. England have been pretty conservative with their selections, and you know, they've said it a million times. We'd rather give a guy one game too many than one game too few. So, look, I can't see them making a change, but he's made a bloody compelling case with his early season county form for Notts in the county championship. The way he's gone about his innings as well, he looks as if he's, you know, actually got down the gym. He's got, you know, got the Smith machine, and he's, you know, he's got a decent weights program going. So look, I absolutely think that, you know, he's at the races. The question I'd ask, if you were the Indian bowling attack, who would you rather come out to open the batting with, you know, Raj's best mate, Rory Burns? Would it be Sibley or would it be Hamid? And I know the Indians rated Hamid back in his debut series in, I think, 2016, 2017.
Yeah, for me, I would rather see Sibley opening if I was an Indian quick. He's got a few flaws in his technique. And as you said, Hamid actually played really well in India back 2016, I think it was. My question is just to go back a step. The New Zealand series where, you know, England lost that series 1-0.
Yep, that's accurate.
Yeah,
does that sort of get thrown out of the window a little bit? Like, is this a fresh series? We're going to give people another chance, and then if there's a problem, we will pivot then. Or are they going to pivot based on that England New Zealand series?
Yeah, look, I'll go back to my point. I think they've shown over the last 3 or 4 years they don't pivot quickly. They stick to their selections. The one thing I'd say is obviously Hamid has now been around the squad a little bit, so you know they have got him back in the reckoning. And look, that 100 kind of hurt against a pretty decent Indian attack, as well. So and look, I guess if there was a question mark, it was when he played in India against India. Obviously, conditions a little bit different. He's a reasonable player of spin. He actually got his finger broken by a quick in that series. So the fact that he's played in England against a reasonable pace attack as well and got 100, I think, you know, goes in his favour potentially. I would pick him. I don't think they will.
I agree with you. I'm really excited about Hamid's potential return to international cricket in this series. That was my note. I like the balance of this England squad much, much better now that they've got Stokes back. So Stokes will come in for Dan Lawrence in that middle order. Much more starch in terms of that middle order batting as well as a bowling option for England.
There's a question mark, I think, over Pope as well from an injury perspective. So he's coming back from injury. So, I definitely think Stokes comes in. But I think Pope and Lawrence, you know,
bracketed
are kind
for
of
injury.
Bracketed,
yeah, I feel like if Pope is fit, he'll play.
Yeah.
Butler in there at 7, I would imagine. And then your bowling attack looks much better rounded now with Sam Curran back, Mark Wood, Anderson, Broad, Ollie Robinson, and two spinners to choose from in that squad. So there's a lot to like about the balance of that bowling attack, and then adding Ben Stokes back into that middle order just gives them much more starch for me. This looks like a good England side, one that can take it to India.
Do we have any mail on Jofra Archer's injury?
Yeah, so he is making a return slowly. The reports suggest that he's probably just not got enough workload to be considered from a Red Bull perspective at the moment. So apparently might start to appear for, I think, the Southern Brave in the 100. Based down in the south, surprisingly, with the no. But I don't think considered for selection given his, you know, his comeback from injury.
Well, the squad is for the first two tests, I believe. So, yeah, so, you know, we will see a bit after that on what they're going to do. I agree with you, Baldy, around that bowling attack, but I do like that. I mean, it's always been a strength when you've got Anderson and Broad in there. Their bowling attack's always going to be a chance, especially in their home conditions. But I just still have massive, massive questions about this batting lineup. To me, Joe Root's going to have to score a load and load of runs, much the same way we said when we were talking about the series and the New Zealand series and saying Joe Root's going to have to get a lot of runs. Mm. It's going to be exactly the same for me. I just don't see how that
he's
side
gonna have more
gets
support,
enough runs.
He's going to have more support with Stokes there and with Butler there. He's going to have more experienced players around the rookies. What they didn't have in the New Zealand series was experienced players, enough experience around those rookies. So now at 5 and at 7, you've got more experience to bat around Pope at 6, around Crawley at 3. I still think
they're missing back in the squad as well.
And Bairstow's back there as well. Yep.
Is he just there for cover or is he being considered in their best 11?
I think he's obviously in there for cover as a keeper. We saw what happened when you picked your 17th best keeper as cover. And unfortunately, then your first best keeper goes down with a hamstring injury and you play your 17th best keeper and it didn't go well. So I think that's why Bairstow's in there. But look, he's gone out and got some runs in this one-day series, runs in the 100 already. He's a decent cricketer.
He looked good in the 100, actually.
He's at
batted
the races.
Well in India too, batting at 3. He was at the races, a high point in that otherwise disappointing series for them.
And we forget Crawley as well, has struggled with form as well. So look, I'm probably with Lippi that I think there's still the fact that we've debated this and we've mentioned about 9 players for the top 6 probably means that
there are some questions still. Yeah, probably
a few questions to answer for sure.
What about does anyone have any other points on England before we move to India?
Yeah, the only thing I would say is Ollie Robinson for me. And I think I texted you boys. If not you boys, it was my other WhatsApp cricket chat. And I think I asked, how do we get... It wasn't you boys, was it?
No.
That's awkward.
He's been cheating on us with another group of cricket fans.
So, yeah, our voice disguiser on the podcast as well.
Cricket friend.
All those guys on the Smith machine, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So look, I think I asked the question, how do we get Robinson in? Because the fact he's back in the squad... I think he plays ahead of Sam Curran. You know, I think with Wokes injured,
Robinson for me is the like for like line bowler. And he was, I thought he was fantastic in his debut series against New Zealand. So I think he deserves to play. My question really is around the grounds. I think Nottingham, not really known for its spinning conditions. You know, it was great. Graham Swan went there basically because he wanted to bowl at a ground where he didn't get as much assistance as when he was at Northampton prior to that, because he wanted to prove he could play on flat wickets that were seamer friendly. So I think there's a chance that England go in with that all seam attack again, and Leach and Best both miss out. So that, you know, makes it a bit easier. Baldy's point is the key one, though, here. Ben Stokes is available, and if he can sling down 8-9 overs in a day, that gives you the ability to get your chicken dinner in there as well.
On to India, then. What do we make of their build-up? Because, I mean, we talked about their build-up in the lead-up to the World Test Championship final. Obviously, they didn't have a lot of cricket before then. And now, because of the scheduling, they've just been over in England now for another kind of month before they get to this series. They've had a couple of warm-up games. I think they had the select 11. I'm sure they've been, you know, in the nets. You know, might have had a practice game as well. But it just feels like they've had some disrupted build-up once again.
Yeah, I was actually quite surprised at how long they were allowed to, you know, break away and go do their own thing for a little bit in England. But look, I think that they've had cricket. They've played that test match in England. They won't be coming in cold, I don't think. So I think they'll be prepared. Their bowlers, especially Bumrah, started to look really really menacing towards the end of that game, that test match. So look, I think the bowlers have got some overs under them, or overs into their legs, and the batsmen will do what they do. But it's hard to bat in England. We've seen that. We've talked about the averages historically. So I think that's where it's going to come down to: who can score more runs in the top order.
And Baldy, do you want to talk about Ashwin? Because he's just had a little county stint and looked great. I saw him take a
100,000 wickets, a bag of wickets cricket at the moment. He opened the bowling in one game. I saw bowl the first over an inning. So he's been fantastic. To me, the question is whether or not they play two spinners. Because they did in the World Test Championship final and it didn't quite work for them. Yes, weather played a part, but it just felt like as that final went on, India didn't quite have the right balance of their side for the conditions. So if we see wickets that aren't going to provide a lot of assistance to spin, are we going to see India tweak that lineup a bit and go in with six batters, punt, and then four bowlers, Ashwin, and then three seamers? So that's going to be the real question for me. Whether or not we see Jadeja as good as he is in the Indian side again.
I think the thing for India, well, if I was selecting the side, is that Jadeja's just about as good as those other batting options that they have. So, you know, I think that's what makes him such a compelling case to always be in the squad. And I think when we were talking about, you know, his inclusion, I guess, in your Hall of Fame that we've been talking about, and you sort of talked to me, I was wanting to make the case for him to be there, but then you sort of talked me around by saying, well, how can you pick someone who's in the best 100 cricketers of all time that can't even make their own test 11? And I guess that, you know, I'm very conflicted about that, because he's such a, you look at his stats and they're just unbelievable. And
he's an incredible cricketer.
He's performed so well recently.
I think if Punt plays, so Punt is kind of should be okay at this point to get back into that test side for the first test. If he plays, he bats at six, and then Jadeja probably can slot in at seven, and that's probably tickety-boo. But if they have to play Ridhwan Saha, I think Ridhwan Saha would bat at seven, and they need a guy to bat at six. And then the question is, can Jadeja bat in the top six in a test side? And that's a maybe yes, maybe no for me. So that, I think Punt's fitness might play a factor in their decision-making a little bit.
I think they have to play that sixth batsman. And if they looked at the World Test Championship, where they fell down is they had one less batsman and they didn't have that extra seamer which they needed. Jadeja's stats, as you're talking about, they're great. They're great in India. He's played really well in India, and I think that there is a bit of skew there for his home tests. Hasn't really played as much around the world. But look, he's a great player, but I think that if they're serious about winning it, that's the kind of makeup they have to go with: six batsmen and the keeper and the four bowlers.
And there's, I mean, you talk about all those batsmen. There's been a lot of this disruption in terms of injuries as well. It seems like Rahane's under a bit of a cloud. We've had Shubman Gill go home. Prithvi Shaw and Surya Kumar Yadav have joined the squad. So we kind of don't know necessarily. This Hanum Vihari is also there. We sort of don't know what the makeup of that squad is. Sounds like KL Rahul might be kind of in the mix now that he scored 100 in that warm-up game, particularly if Rahane's injured. So, yeah, I mean, what are we thinking in terms of predictions for this series?
Do we think that Rahul's a chance to keep wicket if Pant isn't there as well?
That's a possibility.
He's back in the squad.
Pant's
back in the squad.
Okay. Yeah, okay. So Pant plays, and then Rahul's probably leading now as batting and wicket keeping cover.
Pant, yeah. So predictions, Lippy, was a question.
Yeah. Yeah. No one wants to go first.
I'll go. 5 tests, 4-1 to India.
Yeah, I think. You know, English summer, I think we might lose a test potentially in 3-1 as well. I really think India is just the better cricket side. I've talked about it a lot. Their amazing depth and their amazing balance of their side, and that they kind of have cricketers for all conditions now. And yeah, I just have serious concerns about that English batting lineup. I do think that if England is going to get a test off them, they're a great chance to get it in the first couple while India's sort of working their way into this series. And, you know, I think their record in first tests is pretty average of a series. And
India's.
Yeah.
And England's is as well. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, you know, I think that English bowling attack, as I said, is kind of good enough to win at least one game because, you know, Anderson Broad, you just cannot write off their pedigree and what they've been able to do year in, year out. And that, yeah, I think they're good enough to win a test, but whether they can kind of snag two and make it an interesting series, I have my concerns.
Yeah, I guess this bowling attack is very suited. It's like kryptonite to the Indians. If you have a look at what happened in Adelaide, where India were bowled out for 30-odd, that was all Josh Hazlewood taking 5 for 8 or whatever it is, just bowling good lengths, putting the ball in the right area. And that's what Broad and Anderson are going to do. I think it'll be closer. I would go 3-1. That's what you guys have all gone with. But I'm going to go 3-2 to India. No lost games.
Yeah, for me, same scoreline, 3-2.
Yep.
I'm not going to say who to, though. I'm going to actually have a bit of optimism for a change. I think we have got a really, really good group of bowlers at the moment. With Robinson, with Curran, Wokes, I think will return to fitness and be around for those when they name the squad for the rest of the series. Archer could come back into the reckoning towards the end of it as well. We've got Mark Wood. So look, I think we've got a seam in attack that could actually provide a little bit of a... It's strange to talk about an upset winning at home, but I'm going to go 3-2 England.
I'd love to see it. I'd love to see it be a fascinating series.
Awesome. Well, look, that just about wraps up this Week in Cricket episode. Watch out in the feed, though, for our next instalment of our 100, which hasn't pissed off the counties too much just yet.
Better graphics, too.
Oh. Well, on that bombshell, I think it's a good time to end the podcast. And from all of us here, it's good night and God bless. We'll speak to you soon. See ya.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.